Well, go ahead and take your notes out. And while you're looking for that, I want to show you something. It's just part of our, it's part of the journey. So as you know, we got like our groundbreaking happening. So it's a week from today. So it's next Sunday. And so it's very, very exciting. Like Roy said, Aretha Polson's going to be there. First Hawaiian Bank's going to be there. Group 70 is going to be there. I mean, everyone that's been a part of this journey that the Father has linked and put together, all of us are going to be there. All three services are going to be there. Haleiwa, wahiwa. Oh, my gosh, you know. So I have no idea what the weather is going to be like. It's outdoors. There's not going to be a tent. So you may, I don't know, if you want to bring an umbrella or whatever, you know, that might be good. But we're going to just go for it. It's not going to be like a shovel. It's going to be something else. And I can explain that next week. All right. So just very, very cool. But here, I wanted to show you this. So take a look at this next slide. So this is the property, right? So our property is right above that red bar. You see that red bar? So up in the left corner there is the middle school. And then you know how you have Sherwood Forest, you know, in between there. And then you have the hole, right? So there's the hole. That's us. Okay, so according to our what we call a conditional use permit, this is the permission that we got from the city to build, right? It's called the CUP. We are not allowed to park on that stretch of Lihiva right in front of the property, okay? So let's zoom in a little bit closer. Okay, so that's Lihiva Drive. So in between the tile walls, we're not allowed to park there, okay? So it's just an issue that we negotiated with the community, and, you know, they said there's going to be congestion. And I said, okay, you know, we can work around that. So obviously, parking is allowed on Lihiva. We all know that, and all the side streets. But for that little section right there, we're not going to park. So it's a small hike. It's good for your health, you know. Take some deep breaths. Get your jogging shoes out, you know, your walking shoes. And in fact, you know, you can't stay here either because they're going to lock this up. But if you want to move your car out to a side street or Lihiva outside the red zone, okay, then, you know, we're good. Okay, then we're good. All right, so tell the person next to you, no parking in the red zone. Don't park in the red zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where the Rams are going to be a lot today, the red zone, scoring plenty touchdowns. That, okay. All right, so let's talk about this shift, right? Let's talk about this shift from, what is it now? What does the title say? Soul shift from what to what? From ask to listen. And I totally believe that this message is going to revolutionize the way you pray, right? Because we've been taught all our lives in the church, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock, right? And the door will be opened. And seek and you'll find. And so it sounds like, okay, you want us to be like, you know, like asking for stuff. Well, what's this about? Okay. So let me give you a little bit of background on this. Okay. Let me just get a little background on this, on how to understand our prayer life. So for example, in Matthew 6:8, the Lord says that our Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you ask it. Now, wouldn't that make sense? That makes perfect sense, right? He's God. So He knows like all the issues with the property. He knows all the issues that's going on in your life. So what's asking? What's asking about? So why does it say ask? It's kind of confusing. Why does the Bible say ask? And when we pray, why are we asking? Right? When it's kind of like, not only does God already know what you need before you ask Him, He actually knows better than we do, right? He knows better, right? So it's like the teenage kid who's like, you know, God, I really want to get to know this girl. I really want to get to know this girl really badly. I want her number. I want her cell number, you know. And Lord says, no, I don't. You shouldn't get in a relationship with that girl. Besides, you know, it's not the right time. And besides, you don't know anything about her outside of, you know, that she's hot. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter, right? And, you know, it just ends badly, right? Just ends badly. So the Father knows, right? The Father knows what's best for you. Father knows like who you're supposed to marry. The Father knows where you're supposed to work. The Father knows what house to buy. The Father knows everything. Everything, right? So why ask? And here's another thing. Romans 8:26 says this, and we do not know how to pray or what to pray, right? So the Father knows what you need before you ask it. On the other hand, we don't even know what to pray for. So what's this asking thing about? This makes no sense, right? So yeah, maybe we should like listen more. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And we'll contrast those two. However, let me just kind of summarize this to you, because everything that Jesus talks about has like the whole Bible in context. So I need to tell you a quick tale of two trees, okay? The tale of two trees. So in the Garden of Eden, there are these two trees. One is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? The other one's called the tree of life. So the tree of life is where Adam and Eve were. It's like they were eating from the tree of life, because the tree of life just simply means you're in relationship with the Father. And so the Father is going to give you downloads. The Father's, you're just wonderfully connected with the Father. But the Father told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because that is the tree of separation from the Father. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is Adam and Eve saying this. This is what they're saying. We know better. We know better what's good for us. And so we're going to do it our way. And they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now God said that in the moment that you eat from that tree, you would die. It's interesting, because they didn't die. Not like physically. But they did die spiritually. Because in the moment that they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where, in other words, they were saying, here's what I think is right, here's what I think is wrong, here's what I say is good, here's what I say is evil. It doesn't matter what God says, here's what we think. Okay? That's what that tree represents. And to God, to the Father, that means death. Because now you're separated. Okay? So your physical life didn't cease, but your spiritual life is separated from the Father. That is death. That's death. So what we're saying then is that when you do, and it's been, oh, yeah, okay, this is a message, all right, another Sunday morning message, here we are. Now, all good, right? However, I believe by faith there's going to be a moment in our time together, maybe multiple moments, several moments, that the Father is going to download something to you, and something is said, or maybe something I say triggers something else. You know how this works, right? And then it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm going through. That's exactly the situation that I'm in. And in that moment, you're interacting with the Father in the vertical connection, and you're eating from the tree of life just as you can, because you are now reconnected with him through Jesus. So as I'm talking here, they're going to the Father. How many of us know we're all going to have that moment? So I don't know what's going to happen here. So we go in. Now, obviously, everybody knows she needs healing, right? So we don't need to tell the Father that. He knows that. So we just all start to listen. And, you know, many of our prayer team, they already get this. So they've already been listening. And one of the words that one of our prayer team members had was victory. And so what do you mean by that? One of the words we got was, well, just by faith. Okay, this is totally by faith. All right? This is a cool way to pray, by the way. You just open up a hailing frequency, right? Open up a channel, and you just begin to listen. And you say, you want to shut out all the other voices. I'll come back to that in a second. And you just want, Lord, I just want to hear from you right now. And then in the stillness of your heart, right, with all the love in your heart, you might get a word that comes to your mind. Now, how do you know that's not you thinking that? You don't. You don't. It could be totally just enters into your mind. It's from him. Why? Because you're at the tree of life. This can happen. So this is the walk of faith, not by sight. You don't know if it's from you or from him. You're just like, God, I just believe with all my heart, with all the love of my heart, let this be true. Let this be from you. So one of the words we got was victory. So we just began to pray that. We just began to speak it out loud, right? Right? This is important because how did the Lord create everything? How did the Lord create the universe? Right? He spoke. He said, let there be light. He said it out loud. And there was what? Light. So you say it out loud, right? You say it out loud because your voice, his voice, speaking through you, has created power. There's power when you speak it out loud. So we just began to pray, victory, Lord, victory right now. Lord, this is not to be. And we just pray victory over our sister Diana right now. Another word we got was reversal. Reversal. Again, just by faith. Reversal. All right, Lord, just reverse what just happened here. She was fine last Sunday. Just bring her back to her healthy self again. Reverse this whole thing. What the devil meant for, you know, for evil, what he meant for bad, what he meant for, you know, just, you know, to wreck our lives. Reverse it right now in Jesus' name. Another word we got was restoration. That was actually one of the words I got because I was hanging out with Papa Boyd. So this word popped into my head again. So just by faith, Lord, restore her. Restore her back to the way she was, like better than she was. Restore all of her organs back to the heavenly version of who we know Diane to be. Healthier than ever before. And then came, for me anyway, the scariest word of all. Tomorrow. Okay. I'm hearing tomorrow. All right, let's pray that. Lord, we just pray tomorrow something's going to happen. She's gonna come out of this. She's going to wake up. She's going to, you know, something's going to happen tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We don't know what, but we just hear tomorrow. All right, then tomorrow it is. And we just spoke it over her. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And we all went to sleep. And we waited for tomorrow. And those of you that are following this on the prayer text and stuff like that, you know what happened the next day, right? She woke up. She woke up. And she began to respond, and now she's doing better. Isn't that great? Give the Lord a big hand. That's awesome, right? It's a burning bush in our midst. Very, very cool. So this is kind of what we mean. So let me see if we can contrast for us now, and I'll come back to the voice thing in just a second. So let's just contrast. Let's go to those slides, Stephen. The difference between when I ask and when I listen, all right? So when I ask, here's what happens. I am always talking, so my mind is active and busy, right? So if this is your prayer life, then you're doing all the talking. Right? You're doing all the talking. You're telling God. You're telling God. You're informing God. But when you listen, what happens? When you listen, I am not talking, so my mind is now passive and open to new directions. Right? So now you're going to practice a kind of like passive spirituality. That is where you are allowing something to happen. You're allowing him to happen to you. Or allowing him to happen to the situation. Interesting, right? So let's go to the next one. When I ask, what happens when I ask? I want to know something, so my interests are confined to the things that I want to know. Right? So when you're asking, this is what needs to happen. Okay? So now your mind is confined to this. You're not open to other possibilities because this is what you want. Does that make sense? So here's what happens when you listen. When you listen, I want to know what God tells me. And I learn to respond according to what God is revealing to me at the time. That becomes my subject of interest. You see that? Let's go to the next one. When I ask, I expect an answer and I want it to be clear and practical, and I will often grow impatient when I'm asked to wait. With prolonged waiting. How many of us have been there, right? You're like, come on, God, come on, God. Now, why are you like that? Because you're expecting a certain answer to come in your timing, right? But what's this about now? It's not about us at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not making those calls anymore. We are trusting Him at the tree of life. So what happens when you listen? When I listen, I realize I'm not in control. I'm not in control of God. So I am more patient, and here it is, open to ambiguity. Right? This whole building project, oh my gosh, there's a lot of ambiguity. And we had to just wait for what God was going to do next. Right? This has been a wonderful journey with the board and myself and all of you. And here's the last one. When I ask, my relationship with God is peripheral. I value it only so far as it helps me to find an answer. So in other words, I'm busy like doing my own thing. Okay, I'm living this way, the tree of death over here, right? I'm living my own way. Only when I need something do I turn to God. Oh God, I'm in trouble again, right? Right? Now, what happens when you listen and you're at the tree of life? When I listen, my relationship with God is, everybody say, central. Not peripheral, it's central. And it's the reason I'm talking to Him. Because you have a relationship with God, and He now is telling you. Okay? So, how do we make the shift from asking to listen? Very practically, right in the first blank there. Hearing God's voice is not something you do, it's something you are. Right? You don't just hear God's voice, you are a hearing device. You're a hearing machine, all right? The scriptures, you know, and the history of the church, they tell us like all kinds of stories of men and women who are able to like tune in to the frequency of God's voice and discern. It's exactly what you were designed to do. It says, the one who enters, let's read it together. Ready? Go. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, what? Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Okay. Now, you know, we'll say, well, you know, these days, don't we have, like, the Bible to just tell us everything? We don't need to be, like, cultivating this, like, spiritual relationship with God. We just read the Bible and like take the principles of the Bible, apply it to ourselves, right? And we're good. Okay? But remember what I cautioned you against last time. I said, if you just become an expert in the Bible, right? Essentially, you are down a path that will lead us to arrogance and pride and self-righteousness. Because now you can say, I read the Bible, and I'm applying this to my life, and I made myself a good person. That's actually another version of this. You know? It's like you did it. You did it separate from God. It's still the Bible, yeah, but you took the principles of God, and now you're like applying them, right? To yourself, just in your own strength, in your own way, you know? Okay, now, let me give an example of what I mean here by this. After Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and made themselves gods, right? They made themselves gods, essentially, because they are now the arbitrators of, you know, what's good, the arbiters of what's good and what's evil. They're going to decide now, right? Okay. As soon as they did that, what did they do? They clothed themselves with what? Fig leaves, because they were what? Ashamed. Now that's interesting that they felt like they should hide their shame. And they did it with fig leaves. Okay. What did God do after that? This is all in Genesis. God said, no worries. I know this, I'm paraphrasing. I know exactly what you're going through. I understand that separation from me has brought embarrassment and shame into your life, and now you want to cover it. That's not the way to cover it. And what did God do? He gave them what? Animal skins to cover their shame. This is interesting. It's a very fascinating story. The only way to get animal skins, Kalani, shoot the animal. An animal has to die. This is a very, very early picture of who? Jesus. Jesus. Because the blood of an innocent is now being shed on behalf of the guilty. It's like, okay, now this is very, remember what got them in trouble in the first place, right? It was them deciding for themselves what to do when something, you know, when something happens. It's like, we're going to decide for ourselves, God. The apple looks good. I don't know if it was an apple, but yeah, I'm eating it. Okay. So that's essentially what this tree is all about. Okay. Now what did they do? Well, to cover their shame, they come up with their own plan. Fig trees. I mean, fig leaves. God says, that's what got you in trouble in the first place. What got you in trouble in the first place was doing your own thing. So, here's my will for you. Let's bring you on a journey back to me. Animal skins. Fig leaves was their idea. Animal skins is God's plan. See? So that's why we'll be saying, yeah, obviously, I love the Bible, right? We all love the Bible. But the whole point of the Bible was to bring you back into relationship with the Father here. That was the whole point. Not to just make you like a Pharisee who's an expert at the Bible and you can figure out what yourself, by yourself. What you, no, it was intended to bring you back to the Good Shepherd so you could hear his voice. Let's just keep reading some more passages there. It says there in verses 14 and 16, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That's what the Bible is really trying to say, right? It's not like a good moral book with some great moral teaching so you can make yourself righteous. It's not about fig leaves. It's about his, it's about relationship with him and downloads from him. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not, you know, of this sheep pen, but I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And if you jump down to verse 27, it says there, my sheep, what? Listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So in other words, okay, how many of you got your phones with you this morning? You got your devices, right? You got a phone, right? You don't need to go on and anything, but I'm just saying, you know, these things are actually pretty cool, right? I mean, you can do so many different things on that phone. Right, I have an old iPhone 7 because, you know, it still works. I don't need the 8. I don't need the 10. I don't need that. I'm good. But it does so many cool things, right? You can do banking on your phone, you know, and you know, Filipinos can watch the YouTube. You can watch YouTube on your phone, you know, and you know, you can do all kinds of texting your friends, right, and all kinds of stuff like that, right? Now, in order for your phone to work, you need what? Cellular data. Okay, or the Wi-Fi. You need Wi-Fi. Okay, if you're not connected to the Wi-Fi, then you get nothing, right? It's like phone's dead. It's just you can't even use it as a phone, right? I don't know what you can do with it, but paperweight or something. So there's Wi-Fi happening right now. In fact, there's all kinds of frequency. There's all kinds of signals that are happening in this room, like right now. You know, someone's checking their checking account right now, their bank account right now, but you can't see it. It's like it's here, right? Right? Bruno Mars, right? He's on someone's YouTube right now. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Say what? Someone's watching the YouTube right now. But you can't see it. Okay, but it's here. It's all here. It's all here, right? Yeah. Netflix is streaming right now. It's crazy. Radio, you know, KITV, KHON's happening right now. As you're sitting here, all that's going on in the invisible dimension, right? Yeah. And you know what? You got something way better than your iPhone. You are the Godphone 1000. You are the greatest device ever created. You're better than the iPhone 7 or 10 or whatever, better than Android. You're better than any signal catcher out there. You are the ultimate signal catcher. But just like your iPhone, right? You know how you don't know all the functions? Oh, it did that? It did that? Oh my, I didn't know it does that. You don't know half the things you do, right? Yeah, you are amazing. You are amazing. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the Godphone 1000. You're the God, you can hear in the spirit, you can hear the voice of our Heavenly Father, right? Once you come to Jesus, what does he say? No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Which truth? Which way? The life to what? The Father. To reconnect you with the Father. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah. Yeah. See, Christianity was never supposed to be about like some behavior modification philosophy, where we just like teach you, here's rule number one, here's rule number two. So don't lie, don't steal, blah, blah, blah. That's not what Christianity is about. It's not giving you a set of guidelines so you can improve your life. This was about reconnecting you with the Father here at the Tree of Life. So you and the Father sit at the Tree of Life and he hears you and you hear him. And now you can ask, but the whole point is like, ask what question, just let him talk, right? Just listen. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's downloading to you, right? Now, how many of us know there are lots of different voices in our heads? Lots of different voices. So let me just kind of go through a few of them, right? How many of you have heard this voice? You're a real poor excuse for a Christian, you know that? Boy, look at the things that you're doing and thinking right now. How can you call yourself a Christian? You go to church, but what good does it do, right? And you hear this voice of condemnation in your head. Do you think that your Father would speak to you that way? Uh-uh. That's not him. That's not him. In fact, that's the other guy. Yes. So one of the voices you could hear in your head is the devil. That's one of the voices you could hear. But right now, what we need to do is learn how to distinguish the different voices, right? So when you hear that voice, you say, get behind me, Satan. I don't want to hear that right now. No, I am good. I am a child of God. I am a son of the King. The King of the Kings, the King of Kings is my dad, and that's who I am. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I got a long way to go. I got so many issues. But my papa loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. So I'm good. So when you hear that voice of condemnation, you reject it. You cast it out. You shut yourself off from that. You say, God, do something about that. help me. Because this ain't you speaking. So if you ever hear that voice, that's what you do. Okay? Now there are other voices, not the devil, okay? But there's you. Right? There's you. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us felt like this morning, like, oh, I got to go to church. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Oh, I want to go to church. It's kind of like the guy, you know, the son who wakes up and, you know, and he says, Ma, I don't want to go to church. I'm tired. I'm sorry, son, but you got to wake up and go to church. No, Ma. Besides, those people, they don't like me anyway. They don't talk to me. I go to church and, you know, they just, I don't know, I feel rejected. Sorry, son, you got to wake up and go to church. No, Ma. Ma, I like sleep in. I'm tired. No, son, you got to go to church. Besides, you're the pastor, so go to church. So that's what, that's another voice, right? That's the voice that says, I'm not feeling that. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to Bible study. I don't feel like, you know, yeah. Like whenever I feel like I'm supposed to pray for someone, and you know it's over your head, right? Like with situation with Diane, there's always that voice that speaks. It's like, I don't really want to put myself in that situation. Oh God, I don't really want to go. But I know that that's not my Father speaking, right? That's me speaking. That's me. And I'm saying, I want to listen to you. I want to listen to you, so I'm going, right? And by the way, it doesn't have to be so, like, very, very spiritual, right? The Father can speak to you about, like, really, really everyday things, right? If you just distinguish the voices. Because one of the biggest problems that I had in my own personal journey as just a human being, right? You know, I've told you this before. Always had this issue with food and with eating. It comes from my family, you know. It's just like, it's a Filipino thing, right? We like the seafood diet. What is that? You see food and you eat it. Right? That's the seafood diet. And that's the way we grew up. We grew up that way. It took me the longest time to invite the Father into my eating patterns and my eating habits. And now I ask him first. I say, Father, do you think I should, you know, eat this dinuguan and this chicharon and, you know, this adobo and this lechon? I mean, what do you think? Should I eat this? And the Father says, no, you better not eat that, son. That's not good for you. It's not good for you. You have to give yourself a heart attack. Okay, all right, okay. That's the way it sounds like to me. Sounds like my mom, actually. But anyway, yeah. So the idea is, everything we do, right? Even like before we say something, before we speak, don't let anything take you away from the tree of life, from your connection with your Heavenly Father, right? This happens to me all the time. I get triggered by stuff, right? You're talking to someone and you're thinking, I'm just listening to the Father. And then you get into a conversation and now you're upset, right? It just takes you out of the zone, right? You're just like, now, like, okay, well, you know what? Here's what I think, you know? And, you know, so it takes you out of, like, listening. So the fear of the Lord means, man, I really don't want to, like, come out of the zone. I want to stay here. I want to stay right here in this place with you. So I don't want my mind to be triggered. I don't want to listen to these other voices. You know, I just want to stay in the Wi-Fi, get the downloads, right? I want my cellular data on and so I can, like, hear the voice of my Heavenly Father downloading to me what I should say in the moment. I'm doing it right now, by the way. What I should do in any moment, where I should go, what I should eat, where he wants to lead me. That's what this is like. And it's all by faith. You don't know what's going to happen. You walk by faith, not by... Right. It's not going to be shown to you what's going to happen next. But you're okay with the ambiguity because you're with him. Nothing can happen to you outside of his will. You stay right here. Right? So cool. All right. So next one. So the first one is, this is what you were designed to do. Okay? So hearing the voice of God, it's not about like, trying to do something, you know, trying to practice something. No, you just be this, okay? Be the God Phone 1000, the ultimate device in the universe. Not made by human hands, not made by, Android or Apple. You're made by your Heavenly Father to do exactly what he just said in John chapter 10, right? The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. It's who you are. Yeah. And once you come to Jesus, that's what we do. right? That's who we are. That's how we be. Amen? That's us, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, right on. Okay, good. All right, so number two, so what should we put in here? Jesus is speaking, Jesus is here, Jesus is Lord, you know, like that's kind of obvious, right? Nope, write down in your notes, Jesus is gone. Praise the Lord. What? Yeah, he is. He's gone. He has not walked the earth for over 2,000 years. None of us have seen, except maybe in a vision or something, but none of us have seen that guy with the hair, the beard, the toga, the sandals, you know, who looks like Jim Caviezel from The Passion of the Christ, that guy. You've not seen him. He's not been around for 2,000 years, and praise God. Praise God. It's like, what? Well, why are we praising God about this? It's very simple. Let's read this passage here in John chapter 16. Ready? Go. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You know, I don't know about you. How many of us have ever been the one that was dumped? Okay, don't raise your hand. Okay. So in other words, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend broke up with you, right? You didn't break up with them. They broke up with you. Well, this kind of sounds like a line that they might use, you know? It's like, it's actually better if I go. It's better if I go. No, please. Don't. Oh, it's better. It's not you, it's me. You know, I mean, it sounds like a bad breakup line, right? So what is Jesus up to here? It says in verse 7, it says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Now, why is this? Very, very simple. When Jesus was on the earth, obviously because he was inhabiting a human body, he could physically only exist in one place at a time, right? If he was in Jerusalem, that's where he could be. It's just Jerusalem. He can't be in Galilee if he's in Jerusalem. He's just like anybody else, right? Confined to one place at a time. But he says, hey, I got a plan that's way better. In fact, this is the best thing for all of us. And that is me as the Spirit in all of you. So now, where is Jesus today? No longer confined to one space at a time or one place at a time. He is in the person to your left and the person to your right, that person in your family. That's why we said a couple of weeks ago, hey, would you recognize Jesus if he were to walk right in front of you? Yeah. So now every time I see my wife, I say, Jesus. Leave me alone. Chase her around the room. Why? Because I'm Filipino. So this is how, you know, Jesus now inhabits the church. He's in all of us. So at every board meeting, every staff meeting, here this morning when we get together, we acknowledge his Spirit in this place, in every one of us. You've heard the scripture passage, right? That says that a student is not greater than his teacher or his master, right? Yeah. So it sounds like, wow, I better be careful what church I go to because, you know, my ceiling is going to be wherever that pastor is because he's going to be the teacher, right? Pastor's the teacher, so we can only get as far as wherever that guy is, right? He's going to be the ceiling. So if he's like, you know, got issues, he's got problems, right? Yeah. In some ways, that's true. Now, but what if we did this? And this is what we do all the time here at New Hope Central Oahu. What if I remove myself as the master? What if I'm not the teacher? What if we all acknowledge together that the Holy Spirit is in this place, amen? That our Heavenly Father is our covering and our authority over us. And he's the covering and authority over me, right? So in other words, I may be just exercising one of the gifts of the Spirit, which is communicating and, you know, talking and stuff like that, right? But what if the actual master of the house, the authority in this place, is Jesus himself? Well, then he's your ceiling. And with him, there's no limit. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's why we acknowledge him all the time. Because I don't want to be the cap. The board doesn't want to be the cap, right? None of our Bible study leaders or ministry leaders, they're not the cap. There is no, like, cap, because Jesus is unlimited in terms of where he could take you. And all of us can now listen to his voice. And we invite you to do that. It's what the Father always intended when he sent the Son, is the Son would take you by the hand and lead you to him, back to himself. Very, very cool. Very awesome. Okay. So, Jesus is gone. Praise the Lord. That means the Holy Spirit is in every one of us. And here's number three, the last one this morning. Desire God's voice more than anything else. Right? So, I like to take you through a series of passages here with this one. This is all from Jeremiah 29, which, you know, most of us know historically is like the New Hope theme verse. Okay, let's read this. Ready? Go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. All good. You believe that? Amen. Yeah. God has plans for each one of us. He's got plans for you. So you want to ask him what the plans are, right? So that's what we've been doing as a church together. We ask him what the plans are. We want to know what those plans are. Okay. How do we continue just to kind of get in on the plan? Let's read the next passage. Read this together. Ready? Go. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me, what, like on Sunday morning only? And then go do your thing on your own after that? Or just whenever it's convenient? Or so when you seek me, when? How? Underline this. With all your heart. With all your heart. So God has amazing plans to bless you, to prosper you, to save you from harm, from sickness, from disease, you know, from, you know, problems that come from, you know, Mike, when you don't eat right. He has great plans for you to give you hope, to give you future, but he says that you need to seek him with all your heart. We need to draw near to him. And he says that when you come looking for me, if you come looking for me, what? You might find him? No, you'll find him. That's a guarantee. Whenever you come to seek him, right? So, yes. Here's the MSG version, right? So this is the Ajinomoto version of the Bible. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed, and that's God's decree. Now, I totally understand how this is a journey, right? Because we might be okay over here with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you figuring out things on your own, because maybe it's worked out for you. Maybe things are going good, doing it your way. Yeah. So there is no, like, with all my heart, I'm going to go this way. No, actually, we were all born to live independent, orphan, just do things on our own, you know, look out for number one. That's what we were kind of all born into. This is going to be a journey of recognizing that is not going to work out the way you planned, right? That the real hope and the real future is over here. How many of us are there already, right? Raise your hand. How many of us are there already? You're already there. You kind of know, yeah. Whenever I use a do-it-yourself kit or a DIY, you know, kind of version of my life, you know, it just doesn't work out. Like, I'd rather do it this way now. Yeah, go on that journey so that at first, it's not all your heart. I understand. And he does too. But how many times does it have to like come apart for us before we finally decide, yeah, actually, you're right all along. I think I should do it this way. Yeah. Right? That's so true. And then you prefer this way. Then you want to hear him. Before you take another step, you come to this place, you go, you know, I'm about to do something huge here, God. So what do you think? Yeah, take that step. Okay. All right. Do that next. Right. This is the way that we make all of our huge decisions in the church. It's the way you should make decisions in your life. Right? Is to not talk and keep asking and keep repeating yourself, but instead just come before him and listen. Open up a channel. Connect to Wi-Fi. Get in there and start downloading. Cool things will happen. Cool things will happen. Because guaranteed, right? There was no verse in the Bible that said, Mike, you should marry Mona. It's going to turn out great. Right? And there was no verse in the Bible, right? So Mona did not look up in the book of hesitations, right? Oh, where does it say? Oh, it says right here, marry this Filipino guy named Mike. Book of hesitations. Take heed. It's from the book of hesitations. Okay, I'm not doing that. But there's no verse in the Bible that's going to tell you, right? What job you should have, what school you should go to, what enterprise you should, you know, begin, who you should marry, right? All of that, the Bible says, comes from your connection with the Father. He will lead you. He will guide you. You're not going to find any verses on any of those things. It's going to come from this relationship right here at the Tree of Life. Amen? All right. So let me just close with this. Go back to that slide we began with, our groundbreaking, right? So remember I told you that a surefire way to just leave all this tree of death thing behind is to come over here to the Tree of Life and see what the Father is doing, okay? How do we do that? Looking at burning bushes, right? We talked about that before. It's like, okay, this is amazing, okay? And so this, like I said, is the big, huge forest fire. It's not just a burning bush. For us, as New Hope Central Wahoo, this is the burning forest. It's a bonfire in our midst. And we're all of us, like all the board and the staff and, you know, all of us are just like staring at this amazing God thing that is taking place. It has been a journey of faith, first of all, to receive the property. It began, you know, obviously, when Dean Hazama first came. He's our chairman of the board, and he came to church, wasn't even a Christian yet. So remember I was telling you about, listen for these downloads. He wasn't even a believer yet. The Lord was already just beginning to work in his life. And he was listening to me, believe it or not, talk about a future building project that we wanted to do someday. This is like 2004, so it's 15 years ago, right? And I think back then I called it the Nexus building, but no one understood what I meant by that. They thought it was shampoo, right? So I stopped calling it that. You know, I don't call it that anymore. Besides, I don't need shampoo anymore. So, soap is fine. But so now we just call it the Rise Center, the Rise Center. But Dean was sitting in that service, and it started with him, like, just like hearing, you know, like this voice in his head saying, you better help this guy. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. You better help him. He needs help, you know. And so he did. And he wasn't a believer yet, but he eventually did come to Christ. And we baptized him in 2008. And then you fast forward the tape to, you know, like a decade later. And he becomes a part of the board first as like an observer and then a member of the board. And now he's chairman of the board. Well, it's through a relationship with him that we get connected with Castle and Cook. Just take the next step, right? And he says, hey, Castle and Cook, Are you like interested in, you want to keep this property forever? Or you, would you like to just dump it, you know? And they said, yeah, we want to dump it. I said, okay. You know, but then once we got blessed with it, miraculous free property, obviously you don't just like give away property that you could have used. They can't use it. So we took it and we said, okay, God, what do we do next? And we just asked the Father again. And I was like, true story. I was actually walking around City Mill because I was passing some shovels and, you know, building project was in my head. Okay, now we got to build. Like, who's going to help us with this? I mean, this can't be just like, you know, like just some average architect, you know, that doesn't know like very, very complicated things. It's got to be like someone who really knows their stuff. And as I was walking by the shovels, you know, at City Mill, my old friend, Francis Oda, came to my mind. Promise. Yeah. Now, Francis and I go way back. He was on the board of directors of Hawaii for Christ when I was a full-time staff person in that organization. So next thing I know, I'm on the phone with Francis. I'm meeting in his office. I said, Francis, we got this project. You think you guys can help us? You know, I know, like, they're super expensive. But he said, yeah, we'd love to help you guys. You know, so I want to introduce you to our president. His name is Charles, and that's Charles Kaneshiro. You'll meet him next week. And Charles is giving us every possible break that Group 70 can give us by in terms of like cost and so forth. But these guys, okay, Group 70, they're like the top architectural firm. It's debatable, obviously, but in my opinion, right? They're the guys who actually helped to establish the School of Architecture at the UH. They're the guys who did that. They taught all the architects in Hawaii. That's how good these guys are. At the time, I have to tell you, all I knew was that maybe my friend Francis could help. I had no idea. I knew it was a big company, so I had no idea how big, right? So it's like miracle after miracle like that. I don't know stuff. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. But the Father knows everything. Amen? Yeah. This is our first building project. I think there are others to come. Our first building project. First time I ever built a building. I don't know how to do this. But who does? Who's the great architect? He is. And so I don't know how to get the financing. First Hawaiian Bank shows up and they got financing, right? You guys show up and say, we'll give money to this, you know, we'll support this. Here's our down payment. It's like one miracle after another. Amen. And that's how we roll at the Tree of Life. Hallelujah. Let's all stand for closing prayer. One miracle after another. Even being here at Mililani Ike, that's a miracle. At first they said no, you know, and then they changed their mind. That's God, right? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you, by raising your hand, would testify, right, and say, I would love to live like that. That's the life I want to live. I want to live with the Father. Raise your hand. And say it out loud. Say, Father, I will live with you. I want to live with you. Speak it over your life. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your spirit. I want to live with you this way. I'm going to receive downloads. This is what you made me for. This is what you designed me for. You can put your hands down now. Okay, now listen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You do understand that this is impossible without Jesus. Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. He says, I am not a way, not a truth, not a life. He says, I am the way. Okay? It's not an indefinite like article. It's a definite article. So in the original Greek, he's the only way to come back into a relationship with the Father. Do not think that you can like just read the Bible, do some good moral things. Okay? Your fig leaves are not going to help you now. You need to do this His way. And His way is Jesus. So if you've never done this before, you've never come to Jesus before, if you're watching online, this is a very important moment for you. Because if you've never done this before, right now, say yes to Jesus. If you're here in the sanctuary, you've never done that before, would you raise your hand and say, I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to Jesus by raising your hand. You've never done it before, you want to say yes to Jesus. Amen. Okay. And you're watching online, If you want to say yes to Jesus, just in your heart, with everything that you have, with all your heart, just say, yes, Lord, I want you to take me to the Father so I can now live at the tree of life. Just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, all of us together, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. I receive you. Thank you for dying for me and opening the way to the Father. I now live with him in my heart. And now with all the love in my heart, from the Father to me, I am now an expression of the love of the Father to the world around me. This is how I shall now live, in Jesus' name. And all the children of God said, amen, amen, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, great to be with you this morning. If you'd like to stick around for prayer or to talk, the prayer table is right outside this door. Go to the right. All right, until next time, next week. Ooh, the groundbreaking. Aloha ke akua. God bless you.